So we're going to sing You've Got a Friend.
Singing team, thank you very much. And we have a friend in spirit today. And as we prepare for meditation, Charles Fillmore wrote a book called Keep a True Lent. And writers and ministers from that book have written inspiring Lent messages for the 40 days of Lent plus the 6 Sundays of Lent. And today it talks about showing up at the altar. The altar with an AR, so that we can have an altered with an ER experience in our life. And she tells a story about her grandfather who had an altar in his basement. And she thinks about that altar every time she goes in prayer. She uses the power of imagination. I want you now to get comfortable as we prepare to show up at the altar with prayer. And then with the spirit of just listening to what that divine presence may be telling you as your friend today. So I invite you to put your feet on the floor, hands in a prayer position that relaxes, that you feel relaxed in, and just continue to breathe deeply. Beginning to open your heart space now. Loving source and power, we are so grateful to be here today, God, to pay tribute to all of our friends, to the friends that we have and the friends that we have not yet made but are willing to do so. We are so grateful, Spirit, for those moments, those precious, special moments with our friends and our family that make life so rich. We breathe in this gratitude into every cell of our body, using the power of imagination, that God-given gift. We now bring forth the image of a friend that we have that has been there for us when the chips are down. We think of a friend smiling in this very moment as we send them love. We send them gratitude for that special, special friendship that we share with that person. That friend is beaming now with a smile on their face. And now we bring into our consciousness a friend that maybe has an obstacle or a hurdle, challenge in their way. We understand that the Lent season is about renewal and being able to remove that boulder that is in their path. We send that prayer and that light and that love to them right now, in this very moment. We see that friend renewed, healthy, whole, their divine birthright of being able to step into the truth of who they are with knowledge, understanding, and the peace that is available at any time through Spirit. All is in divine order. Continue with this energy as you spread this love that God is to each friend out into the city and out into this world in this precious and sacred holy silence. It's with this next breath that we bring in enthusiasm to this very moment, letting any troubles, challenges stay at the door. As we enthusiastically say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for this life. Thank you for all of our gifts. And so it is. Amen. And amen. And we give thanks for Friendship Sunday. Yeah. And in fact, just reach out and touch someone. Reach out and touch a friend. Yeah. After all, today is about meeting new friends. And if you can't reach out and touch a friend, touch your heart or send it out into the room, that energy. Did that feel a little bit unnatural for a couple of you? Especially if you're brand new here today. If that's the case, then you're right on track, because today is about how to go beyond the natural. We're going to talk about how to be a little bit supernatural. And we've been doing a lot of friendship-type things here at Unity. I don't know where it started and where it ended. It's just been like one long day. In a good way, we had spiritual movie night and discussion and meditation on Friday night in our Friday night ministry, and that's led into over 100 people coming last night, as Beverly talked about, with our very first film festival here at Unity. That Kindship was responsible for, the Kindship group, and that's why all of our friends are up here, like Humphrey and Charlie are up here with us today. And you may be like, what's that got to do with church? Well, let me tell you, if you saw the films, you would know, because sometimes that art, it's like I told the kids at Booker T. Washington, I said that sometimes your art can transcend and teach us adults some things, even about unity and about life, and do it in a way that art can do it that is far beyond the words that even I could speak. And so it was an incredible night last night. And of course, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and then last Sunday I gave a little bit of a precursor to the idea of Lent and understanding that it's about renewal of the mind that also helps us renew our body, our health, and really helps us balance out our mind, body, and spirit. And of course, our way shower, Jesus, always said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I'm sure he also said, as a woman thinketh, so is she. Exactly. But isn't that true, that renewal that takes place when we are willing to do that, when we're willing to go on the journey of expansion, which is what our year is all about here at Unity, renewing our mind to allow the good to come in. Yeah, every day, just as the Apostle Paul said, these words in the book of Romans is attributed to Paul, where he says, and I showed you this last week, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's hard to renew the mind sometimes when we're being so conformed to everything going on in the world. So we want to allow a little bit of a spring cleaning. Anybody do that anymore? Like clean your closets in the spring? One person! Wow, okay, a few. Clearing the clutter of the closet sometimes is harder for me than cleaning the clutter of my mind. But that's really kind of the spring, and part of the Lent message is about changing and getting rid of that clutter. And I want to reframe it for us today to where we can do it in a more of a supernatural way. And if you're here for the first time and you start hearing me talk about supernatural, it's like, wow, first he had us touching people and now supernatural. Is it too late to leave? Where's the exits? I heard about this woo-woo minister. I don't know, but isn't it interesting that we have these stories in the Bible about visions and dreams and even angels? And I think about that because Charles Fillmore always said, who's the co-founder of Unity, that if it happened back then why can't we be open to some type of experience like that, even if we can't quite explain it? I think of angels sometimes. Does anybody else ever think of angels? I mean, I do. When I show up to my altar of prayer, often I would sort of invoke what I believe is perhaps my guardian angels. It could be my parents, could be family that have transitioned, previous mentors. And there's just something about going into that space and using my imagination and being open and just listening to spirit, it's all God, that I may get an answer that I seek, or I may feel healing, I may feel renewal of my mind. So to be supernatural, it's okay to do that. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is about Jacob and the ladder, Jacob's ladder. And the idea is the angels that would go down and up the ladder to bring messages. So sometimes we receive messages, and even if you're not so much thinking about angels, I mean, something's happening there. There's something spiritual happening when we're willing to receive that message. And also, my favorite verse gets more into the guardian angels, where it says in Psalms 91:11, For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So yeah, this idea of guardian angels and being able to just bring us love at any moment. To help us sow the seeds that we would like to sow for this Lent season. If you're out there planting your garden, what type of seeds are you planting, and what type of seeds are we planting into our mind with our thoughts and our prayers? Are we like these critters right here in this comic? Now he's calling us critters, and while he was being woo-woo about supernatural, now we're talking about critters. Not calling you critters, but we can be critter-like a little bit. Which one of these critters are you? The critter number one that says, and I call them critters because I don't really know what they are. I can't tell. But it says, why so optimistic about 2017? What do you think that will bring? Do you have any friends like that? You're so optimistic, you're ready to go, you're into your expansion mode for 2017. And they're like, why are you doing that? It doesn't even matter. Well, this second critter here says, I think it will bring flowers. Yeah? How come? Says, because I'm planting flowers. Duh. What kind of flowers are you planting? What type of seeds are you planting? I want to bring up Deb Stovall. And did Alexis have to leave? She may have had to walk out. Deb Stovall, come on down. Alexis had to get somewhere. Alexis is teaching Discover the Power Within You, which is the book. The hand is quicker than the eye. There we go. That Oprah Winfrey, it changed her spirituality and the way that she thought about God. And also Maya Angelou changed her perspective of God. And that's the book, Discover the Power Within You. We have SEE classes coming up March 20th to really take a look at diving deeper in our understanding of our spiritual path and our knowledge. And we're going to be doing it 5 days, and if you can only show up for two, that's okay, unless you're taking it for credit, if you can come 1, 2, or 3 days, but just come. And we want to hear a little bit about your class, because it really fits in with You Are the Placebo book that we've been studying about health and wholeness, is what you're teaching.
Yes, am I on?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I'm teaching healing and wholeness, and if you want to learn about really unity and how it began. This is Myrtle's story, and it was her healing from tuberculosis. She healed herself. She was given 6 months to live, and she began meditating and telling herself that she was a child of God, and she said, I do not inherit sickness. And she did this for 2 years and healed herself of tuberculosis, and she died at 86 years old. So that's one of our co-founders. That's what our unity, theology, philosophy is founded upon, is Myrtle. And we will be reading two of her books and one of Charles Fillmore's books on healing. And I really almost want to say, I guarantee you a healing if you take this class. It's experiential. I love to guide people to realize their wholeness. So whether you want to bring an emotional healing, a physical healing that you need, or just a shift in your life, are you sick and tired of thinking a certain way? Bring it to class, and I guarantee you'll find changes.
So when is your class? What time?
It's at 3 o'clock.
It's at 3 o'clock, so if people need to take off work, will you write them excuse notes to their boss?
Oh, yeah. I used to be a teacher, so I still have my pad. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you so much. That divine birthright of healing and wholeness that we have, certainly discussed in this book, You Are the Placebo. And I wanted to read a little something about becoming supernatural and how we approach our spirituality and our healing and our wholeness and our life. Dr. Joe Dispenza says, there are no schools of ancient spiritual wisdom sitting high on mountaintops in the Himalayas waiting to initiate us into becoming mystics and saints. I always thought there were, actually, at the top of Himalayas up there, but okay. And he says, our lives are our initiations into greatness. And he goes on to say, to abandon the familiar ways in which we've grown accustomed to thinking about life in order to embrace new paradigms, which we've been talking about, paradigms. To embrace new paradigms will feel unnatural in the beginning. Frankly, it takes effort and it's uncomfortable. Why? Because when we change, we no longer feel like ourselves. How many times in history have admirable individuals who struggled against outdated beliefs, living outside of their comfort zones, being considered heretics and fools, only to later emerge as geniuses, saints, or masters? Isn't that the truth? How many business owners out there in the beginning, they failed and they failed and they failed? I met Mark Cuban the other day, and he said, I failed way more than I got it right. And now he's a successful businessman. But also our spiritual teachers and many sages in the beginning, people like that, he's kind of crazy. Jesus was a rebel. But then they stepped into their truth and was willing to change their paradigm and become what Joseph Dispenza says as supernatural. But how do you and I become supernatural? He says, we have to begin to do what's unnatural, okay? That is, to give in the midst of crisis. When everyone else is feeling lack and poverty. To love when everyone else is angry and judging others. To demonstrate courage and peace when everyone else is in fear. To show kindness when others are displaying hostility and aggression. To surrender to possibility when the rest of the world is aggressively pushing to be first, trying to control outcomes and fiercely competing in an endless drive to get to the top. To knowingly smile in the face of adversity and to cultivate the feeling of wholeness when we are diagnosed as sick. So that is to be able to step into the supernatural. And what he talks about is needing knowledge. That's why we do SCE classes and the other classes that we do here. Create more knowledge and understanding. That will make a difference in our relationships. It'll make a difference in the next step we take toward a job offer. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, a lot of times adults need something called a timeout. You may not go stand in the corner. You could. You might go stand at your altar or kneel at it, but sometimes you just need a timeout to reset in the form of prayer and meditation. Why is it so difficult for people to meditate and to get still and just to let go, to receive, just to receive answers on how to move that boulder aside? He talks about, as a scientist in this book, about getting past the neocortex, getting past the analytical mind can be difficult for us. So it takes practice and it takes work. And sometimes our friends have to help us do that and remind us. I told you last week I had a friend that just transitioned. He was the vice president of the board at Unity of Little Rock. And I went to his memorial this past week and I spoke. And I can just always kind of feel Frank is maybe an angelic figure. He was always pushing me to be more before, and I think he's still doing it now. But then after the memorial, through kind of an interesting sequence of events, I ended up at a place called in Arkansas, the Moose Lodge. Have you ever been to the Moose Lodge before? Luckily, they don't let people smoke in there anymore, but let me tell you, there was a really hardcore darts tournament going on. They are league. I mean, they are pros. They're serious, and I happen to be horrible at darts. And I don't understand why I'm so bad at this game. I mean, it seems so easy, doesn't it? The board is right there. It's just like that far away. And all you have to do is get the dart into the bullseye. What's the big deal? The big deal is I have all these other sports and this motor memory going on and the way that I used to do things and football, because I tried throwing, and I've haven't played darts in a really long time, but I remember that I kind of had that thing down where I would throw it like a football. And then I never really hit the board. So then I would try like a baseball where it's the flick of the wrist, you know, do it that way. And I tried some basketball passes behind my back and all this, and everybody dives for cover when I do that. I don't understand why. And then a pro came up. He felt sorry for me. A pro came up at the Moose Lodge, and this guy's league, big league, and he said, "Man, all you gotta do is launch it." Kind of like some of you planting seeds in the garden out here. We're about to have a big landscaping thing go on. You're just supposed to kind of go like this, just launch it into the board. And I started hitting the board more and more. It was kind of nice. But then these ladies stepped up. I got a picture of these two ladies right here. And I'll tell you in a minute why they're pointing to that. But this is Reverend Colleen on the left, Colleen Brown. She's one of my mentors. And Trisha Brown, who was here last week and who introduced me to the book, You Are the Placebo. Now, they played against all men, different sets of men, okay? And these pros. But I was sitting there thinking as I saw them step up, I was like, what they don't know is that these girls are loaded with faith. So watch out, because they're ministers. And so they got up there and they started doing their thing, and they won the first game, and people are like, oh, they got lucky. And they won the second game, and people are like, whoa, who are these ladies? In the third game, and the fourth game, and the fifth game. And then finally, it got down to the last dart to launch. And Trisha there on the right, she had to hit what was called a double seven to win. And if she went over that, the team would lose. And so the next slide is, look at this dart right here. It's in the double seven, and it's right there next to the 10, and I found out dart lingo, they call it splitting 10, okay? And but she nailed it. And I was just, and it was funny too, because I took pictures of the guys that lost. And I'm not going to show those, but one of them says, curls his finger at her and says, come here. I want to know what prayer you were praying to hit that. But they knew that they were ministers, and they acted like big kids, so it was all in fun and good. But I asked Colleen, I was like, how long have you been playing darts? And she said, playing darts was a big challenge for me. I was like, you too? And because she had hip issues and different things, she said, but you know what? Because I also asked her that day, I said, what does Lent mean to you? And she said, Lent for me, to have a Lenten experience, means that I could have said no to something like playing darts. And really, to be honest, she got back into it because of her childhood sweetheart that's now her boyfriend. I'm not going to tell that story today, but I'm having her Skype into my prosperity class I'm teaching March 20th, so that's going to be a good story. But I want to tell you what she said about this issue, because she said that if she said, I can't play darts, that would be I can't in my repertoire with my mind. So that would be an I can't in the repertoire of my mind. She said, I've made many efforts to keep Lent through the years. And she said, the best way I could do that is to, that with discipline, because discipline and disciple comes from the same root word, meaning focused and dedicated. She said that Chuck talked about why is it that wherever you go, people, no matter how old they are, if they're kids or whoever, they come up to you like they're your friend. And I know some of you like that, Ann Sadowski and others, that people just seem to come up to you and be your friend. And he said, I've never seen anything like that. Why is that? And she said, this is why. She said, I didn't know myself until I took it into prayer. It's that I've made peace with being me. I am who I am. And that's not conditioned. I am comfortable in my own skin. I have warts, imperfections, or whatever.
but it doesn't matter. I no longer think of me, I think of others. Not in a self-serving way, but in a get-to-know-you kind of way, and that's my Lenten story. One cannot love oneself enough to be comfortable. Oh, if you can love yourself enough to be comfortable, others will be. It's akin to a radio station sending out signals. So what kind of signal are you putting out? Another analogy is, we are the original Xerox machine. Right? Because when you go over here and you give somebody a compliment and you tell them, Blake, you have such a great voice. Oh, my goodness. And Cheryl, I love your smile. You are always smiling so good. And Ken, you're a great performer and great parents. And then all of a sudden, the posture changes. So you are leaving a carbon print, but keeping the original, just like a Xerox machine. So think about that when you're planting those seeds this week and through the Lent season on what you are doing for others out there. I want to tell another story about a man. This gentleman right here is, well, first I should back up. I got asked to do a memorial for a lady, her name is Sherry Kiker, and her mother, Shirley. They used to visit here, actually for 30 years. They weren't really visitors. Be careful, first-timers here 30 years, watch out. And she asked me to do the memorial, and she was telling me, Sherry Kiker, that they were the first couple to get married here when the building was new, which was kind of cool. Another thing that was kind of cool was this Civil War era cemetery. I'd never done a gravesite service in a celebration of life with the Civil War era tombstones and everything, and this beautiful church here. And then after the memorial in this chapel, we went to a place and I met this gentleman. And this is Grandfather Kiker right here. Now, Grandfather Kiker is almost 95 years old, looking good. And I cannot say this because of the Bloody Marys that he's drinking. Edit that out. Broadcast booth, okay? But he was telling me this is a World War II veteran. He was in the Army and he fought in the Pacific. He got there at 18 years old. So imagine 18 years old and you get to this island at the other side of the world, and there's 6,000 of you, and there's 16,000 of them. And his lieutenant would say, Kiker, we got a new cave to go explore. And so he'd lower him into the cave, and he was always willing to go into the caves to search. This lieutenant actually, they stayed in touch through the decades after the war, his lieutenant, but they didn't see each other 1945, and then all of a sudden, just about a decade ago, they saw each other again and started hanging out, started having coffee together. And Mr. Kiker's wife passed away not that long ago, and she had Alzheimer's. But for years, he would nurse her. He would take care of her. He would do everything that Joe Dispenza was talking about in his book with his wife. And then the lieutenant said, you know what, Kiker? You were a good soldier then, but you're even a better soldier now. That's what being supernatural is. Doing what would be unnatural for so many other people. In this city, you can be supernatural. If you happen to do the meditation again that we did at the beginning of the service, or if you get the disc out there that includes the meditation, or you can watch it online or send it to a friend today's service. When you're doing that meditation, wrap your love and issue those seeds, those good thoughts and prayers to the city of Dallas. Now, what I've found out in my 10 months here is that Dallas is an amazing city. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of wonderful things happening. But also, there's poverty. In fact, Dallas, for this large city, is the number one city for homelessness amongst children. I found that pretty surprising. But I went with Regina Nippert, who was a presenter at Emerge Dallas a few days ago. And Emerge Dallas is a geared toward helping emerging leaders make a difference in the city and have impact on the city and address some of these issues that are facing the city, such as poverty, homelessness, the north-south divide. And we have breakout groups and whatnot, but then we have this lunch here, and where there's the mayor and Mark cubing up there. And boy, there's a lot of cheesecake right in front of me right there. I mean, I was sitting back here, and I don't know, the room was full. I don't know why nobody was at this table. And so I was losing my focus taking a picture there because of all that cheesecake. But they talked about these issues, and at the very end, they asked, the moderator asked them, what is one thing you want these young people to know and emerging leaders to know? What would be your parting thought? And the mayor said, you know, we don't have enough fun. We need to have more fun. So maybe this Lent, you can have more fun. But of course, Mark Cuba goes, yeah, we do. And then the mayor says, well, yeah, somebody that's a billionaire with a professional basketball team. Yeah, we know you have a lot of fun. But I took pages of notes that day right here. And I want to read a couple of lines that Mark Cuban said. If I can read my handwriting here. My mother wanted me to be a doctor and have the handwriting for it. So let's see. He says that you can be you. Much like what Reverend Colleen was talking about. You can be you and reach your dreams. What are you doing for the world? So what seeds are you laying in the world? You have to challenge yourself today. You can have it be a part of the social component. It doesn't matter what it is if you're out there saving the rhinoceroses. Whatever it is, find your passion. Learn how to get involved. Run for office. I'm not so sure about that, but that's what he said. I want to close today with a poem that our very own, some guy named Stephen Dunn wrote. And this poem just magically showed up, Stephen. This was the right poem for me today because it really ties into this Lent series we're doing on transformation that we're all having in our lives. I'm affirming that. It's called Windows of the Soul. Says, I sit in my pew and watch the seasons change. Summer into fall, winter into spring. Blessed by the light that shimmers and shines, shadows of God, perfect and divine. Reflections on the bayou that flows through our land, rippling upon the ceiling like drifts in the sand. Creating a meditation both powerful and sweet. Into my soul, I quietly retreat. Listen to the message that enlightens my life, still transformed by the seasonal light. Observing the birds as they flutter by, bringing sweet tears to my prayerful eyes. Regal trees that fill the spaces, leaves that change in my sacred oasis. I know the message will change my life. While staring out those windows is a perfect delight. Windows of glass, openings to my soul. A God-given gift that will never, ever grow old. It's a beautiful poem. Thank you, Stephen. Before we close, this is the challenge right here, to transform those windows to your soul. This is actually by Mikey Hart, the Grateful Dead drummer, one of your favorite drummers, right? Okay. He says, adventures don't begin until you get into the forest. That first step is an act of faith. I pulled that out in Hawaii somewhere, and I had to keep it. That first step is an act of faith. So go forward with courage into that, into your life, into that forest where you need to lay more seeds, lay different thoughts, and you will be transformed. Thank you. Namaste. Amen.